When you get to reginadonacres.com, there's a menu on the right-hand side. What you're going to want to do is scroll all the way down to June 2005. There are several Junes here, so make sure you get to the right year, 2005. And when you get to June 2005, you're going to scroll down to June 26th. That's called Stillness of Mind, and that's where we're going to begin reading tonight. So, reginadonacres.com, Sunday, June 26th, 2005, Stillness of Mind. Laurent, did you want to say hi?
I want to say hi to everyone. a happy new year, if I didn't have the chance to say it before. And it looks like this year is a grand cru classé.
Okay.
It's a wine, you know. It's those big years of in the wine, you know, like in France, you know, we're pretty big on wines, and some years are very big years for Bordeaux and stuff. Like 82 is very big, 85 is big, 95 is pretty big. I think 2008 is pretty big for oneness. Let's make it this way. So I wish you all the best.
And what I want to do is open...
Great vintage Wayne, yeah, exactly. Yes.
What I want to do is just open with our prayer. I would like to give this next hour or so to Holy Spirit and ask Holy Spirit to help us to see whatever it is that we need to see and realize whatever it is that we need to realize, and of course to guide all comments, because all that we're really interested in is the Holy Spirit. There isn't anything else that we truly care about. So,
no, yeah, this is true. We don't care about anything else, just Holy Spirit.
Just Holy Spirit.
We love Holy Spirit.
So that's all we want to hear in the next hour.
Forget all the other crap, just Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So again, starting on Sunday, June 26, 2005, Stillness of Mind. So what I'm going to do, I think I remember this day already. I do, because I remember if you were here 2 weeks ago, June 25th was when I had the migraine because I bought the cell phone number with the wrong area code. Some of you may remember that story. The very next day, June 26th, was the going away party that the people who worked for me threw for me. So we had like a picnic in the backyard of a friend. So I kind of remember that day. It was a very nice day, of course. But this is the message that Holy Spirit gave me on that particular morning. I called it Stillness of Mind. Stillness of the mind is a good place to start today. Stillness is a place of observation without judgment. It is noticing without thinking you know. From this place, you remember to ask. You are like a child, curious and open, willing to learn. It is within the stillness that I am your teacher, because you allow me to be. When the mind seems active with judgments, you seem to know. So you do not ask, and you do not learn. Equate stillness with observation. Equate non-judgment with not knowing. Watch the world today in peace and curiosity, and ask me. I am with you, eager to teach on all that you see. It's amazing to me how much Holy Spirit can pack into like three very short paragraphs. But this is an amazing message. It has an awful lot in it. I'm really grateful for it, to be reading it today on January 2nd, because of course yesterday we did the traditional thing. We made our New Year's resolution. And my New Year's resolution this year was to stop believing my own judgments. And so this particular message seems to go very well with that. It's very helpful for me to read today. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to start reading the message again, but I'm going to pause and comment as we go through it this second time. And Laurent, you know, if you want to say anything, just...
Sure, thank you.
Just step in.
Thank you. I mean, as well as everybody in the room, too.
Of course, absolutely. But you guys have to raise your hands. Laurent doesn't have to. He can just start talking.
I can raise my leg here.
Yeah. All right, so... Again, stillness of the mind is a good place to start today. Stillness is a place of observation without judgment. It is noticing without thinking you know. From this place, you remember to ask. You are like a child, curious and open, willing to learn. And I feel like that's really just what I would call a setting the stage paragraph. It seems like in the next two paragraphs, even though they're very short, Holy Spirit tells me exactly how to do what He's asking me to do in the first paragraph. But one thing on this particular day that was really interesting about receiving this message, as I mentioned to you, that this was the day that the people who worked for me were throwing a going away party for me. And not only were the people who worked for me currently there, but people who had worked for me in the past also came. So there were a lot of people there and a lot of history. And as I've told you all before, there were still a couple of people around the office that I was having grievance issues with all the way until the end. And of course, those two people were going to be at this party as well. So to have me going into that party in this mode of observation without judgment, it was just a great way to start the day, especially as I was nearing, now I'm getting into my last week in Boston, so I don't have much more time to let go of these final two grievances before I leave. The Holy Spirit continues, "It is within the stillness that I am your teacher, because you allow me to be." And that's actually kind of reminding me, we were joking around just before we started talking tonight, but we were joking around, as you know, about we only want to hear the Holy Spirit. We don't care about anything else. And that's exactly what this sentence reminds me of, because when my thinking mind is really going, when my thinking mind is really active, when I think I know what I'm looking at, I'm not really listening to the Holy Spirit in that time. When I'm listening to the Holy Spirit is when I hold on to the thought that I don't know. Whenever I hold on to the thought that I don't know, I can hear the Holy Spirit. And I've gotten pretty good at that because of writing with Holy Spirit, especially writing NTI. Whenever I was writing NTI, the process I used was I would read the New Testament first, and then I would listen to the Holy Spirit's interpretation of what I read. And one thing that I learned was I could not hear the Holy Spirit if I thought I understood what I just read. And of course, we're talking to, at the level of form, an intelligent woman. She certainly thinks she understands what she just read. I read a story in the Bible and I think I understand it. And as long as I think I understand what I just read, I couldn't hear the Holy Spirit's interpretation. So one thing that I got pretty good at as I was writing NTI was I got really good at what I'll call letting go of my thoughts or dumping my thoughts, looking at whatever I thought I knew about what I just read and just letting go of it, merely by realizing I didn't want my interpretation. I wanted the Holy Spirit. So I didn't want what I thought I knew. I wanted to hear what the Holy Spirit said. And as I let go, and got down to that point of emptiness, that's when I would begin to hear the Holy Spirit. So, really that's what the Holy Spirit is saying here. It's within the stillness of our mind, which means it's when we aren't doing all of the thinking, that we allow the Holy Spirit to be in the mind. The Holy Spirit says, when the mind seems active with judgments, you seem to know, so you do not ask and you do not learn. Equate stillness with observation. And this was very helpful to me at this time, because I thought stillness meant no thoughts. And that was something I was not at all capable of. I was not capable of no thoughts. And so I thought stillness was something I was not capable of. But somehow when Holy Spirit said, equate stillness with observation, that was something I knew I could do. I knew I could go to this party on this day and just watch everybody without thinking. It's still not lack of thought, but how do you describe that, observing without thinking? How do I describe that? I'm sure you guys know how to do it, but I'm trying to figure out how to put it into words. There's a way to observe and to make note of what I see without
thinking.
Without thinking, yeah, I guess that's all I can say. Okay. That's all I can say. And so I knew that I could do that. I knew I could go to this party on this particular day and just observe without thinking. And then, he continues, equate non-judgment with not knowing, which for me was the same thing, especially with these two people that I had habitual judgments, like almost as soon as my eyes would land on them, the judgments would start shooting in my mind. And I always felt like I couldn't do anything else. As soon as my eyes landed on them, the judgment started shooting. But when he said this, equate non-judgment with not knowing, I knew I could do that. I knew that I could observe and realize I didn't really know anything. I didn't really know what I was seeing. I didn't really know what was going on. And if I could stay in that place of not knowing, I would not judge. And then he continues, watch the world today in peace and curiosity. The curiosity is something else that's always been very, very helpful, because curiosity for me is a place of not knowing, but not knowing in a happy excitement. Something about curiosity, it's you know, awaiting enthusiasm, whatever might happen next. And again, it's that not knowing, so it's non-judgment, it's observation, it's not thinking. So watch the world today in peace and curiosity, and ask me. I am with you, eager to teach on all that you see. So it's, again, it set the stage for me on this final opportunity to go and be with these people and not judge them. And it actually went very well. In fact, the two people that I had the final grievances with, we had a wonderful time together on this particular day through me practicing this message. And it's actually kind of funny, because those two people, since I've left, have emailed me the most of everyone else. In fact, I recently got emails from both of them for Christmas. Mm. So, you know, the two people that I couldn't get along with for years, in the final week, it all just kind of melted, and now we still stay in touch as friends. So it's very interesting.
The holiest place on earth.
The holiest place on earth.
It is. This is the biggest goal of Jesus, of Holy Spirit, is to get catharsis from the dark to the light. So whenever there's you know, where an ancient hate turned into a new love, all heaven rejoices. And you can feel that. You can feel that. This is why our true happiness cannot be in bliss nidhi.
Yeah.
Our true happiness, and we know that, it's fine to bliss nidhi. I mean, in the sense, you know, we could be fearful to look down at fearful thoughts, but the true happiness lies in looking at the limits, especially, you know, and the fear that goes with the limits, and realize that we're not trapped by these limits on many angles, either by being the creator, either by not believing that I'm limited this way or this way or this way, looking at the fear and realizing that I'm not fearful, I don't believe that thought, not believing our limits is, for me at least, is the happiest place on earth.
Well, you know, and it's also interesting how those last two grievances, the final grievances, melted away. The final grievances at work. I developed more grievances later, but the final grievances from the workplace. It's interesting watching how those melted away through me literally doing nothing. We all know that the Course says, I need do nothing. But the doing nothing was the actual action. You know, the doing nothing, just the observing and the remembering that I didn't know and the being curious, that's a doing nothing, especially compared to judging, thinking, analyzing my mind, trying to figure out why I'm unhappy or why I'm judging. That's doing an awful lot. Just going and watching the day, watching everybody at the party, just observing and being curious is really doing nothing. And it was that space that allowed these grievances to just completely fall away.
Mm-hmm. I have the image of a child with eyes wide open, looking at everything.
Mm. Yeah, it's the same.
And one other thing that path did to me, it really actually physically opened my eyes. So I look at things with eyes more open, yeah. more open. And it reminds me of that vision of you know, when Jesus asked us for an innocent perception. Meaning, you know, and innocent is the same as what Holy Spirit just said here, like enthusiasm, childlike, curiosity.
Realizing you don't know.
Yeah, realizing you don't know, and realizing that you're eager to learn as well.
Yes.
Even in the world or anywhere, but wherever there is enthusiasm and eagerness, there's an innocence waiting there, and Holy Spirit loves that. Mm. And you're right in the sense that stillness or that peace that he's been telling us lately is not staying in the beach without doing anything, without no thoughts. It's riding on the program by observing it. But just riding on whatever happening with some curiosity, and that curiosity is really a reverse force than the judgment force. Is that cyclone of love against the cyclone of fear? It's just another way to trigger that opposite spinning force that is love to fear.
Yeah, curiosity is a powerful, powerful state of mind.
It is.
I recommend curiosity to anybody who hasn't tried it yet. Just being curious about what's going to happen really changes the perspective. If you scroll up, we'll come to Monday, June 27th, and it looks like the Holy Spirit is continuing to teach me about being the observer. I named this one, How to Observe Your Thoughts. And here's what Holy Spirit had to say. Notice all that you seem to think. So now we're moving. You know what? I remember this. On Sunday at the party, Holy Spirit had me observing the outside world. I was observing the people, observing what was going on with curiosity and with non-judgment. And as I mentioned, I did a good job. It was a good day. I was able to take what Holy Spirit asked me to do, and I was able to do it. Now, when you do a good job, the Holy Spirit takes you to the next level. So now, the very next day, Holy Spirit's taking that skill that I learned on the previous day with the outside world and bringing it inside into watching my thoughts as an observer. And that, at least for me, was a slightly more difficult skill because it was more personal. My thoughts were more personal to me than a body out, what seemed to be outside of me. So Holy Spirit's taking the skills from Sunday on Monday and using them again. So here we go. Notice all that you seem to think. Notice your thoughts like an observer watching them on a screen. Yesterday you tried to watch form and not judge it. Oh, it looks like I did some judging. Yesterday you tried to watch form and not judge it, and you found yourself judging even though you thought you didn't want to. You were watching the effects of your judgments, and you thought you were judging them. The effects of your judgments are effects and not cause. I don't remember what the judgments were, so I'm not real specific on what he's talking about. I think there must have just been a few of them during that day. I wish I could remember. Maybe I will as we continue. The effects of your judgments are effects, not cause. What you see does not cause your thoughts. Your thoughts cause what you see. So try this today. Forget about what you see. That is merely a shadow, and it means nothing. Sit back and observe your thoughts. Be still and watch them go by. Do not judge your thoughts as good or bad or useful or not useful. To judge them in any way is to accept them as yours and to allow them in your story. Observe, watch, and let pass by. It is another day of rest today. So I had mentioned that the previous day had gone pretty well. It looks like maybe I had some guilt or something about a few judgments that popped out of my mind during the day. But it felt like a day of rest. I mentioned to you that on Sunday it was an I need do nothing day, that I was observing and that I was being curious, and that it felt very, very good. Well, he's saying this is another day of rest. So he is equating the observer to resting because it's different than the efforting, different than the thinking, different than the analysis that goes on in the mind. But again, he's bringing that observing into the mind now and having us watch our thoughts with the same detachment, the same curiosity, the same restfulness that the day before I was watching the outside world. And I think it's really cool that he reminds us not to judge our thoughts as good or bad or useful or not useful, but just to watch them. And we're getting a lot of that same message from Holy Spirit now. What was the message we got two messages ago? The experiences past message.
Yes.
The whole first half of that message was about not judging our thoughts. Holy Spirit said, I ask you to will for awareness of judgment without judging, or something like that. So it's all about learning to see the thoughts that come into the mind without judging the thoughts that come into the mind. It's a wonderful skill, and it's important, but it's also somewhat easy when we remember that the thoughts that come into our mind come into our mind automatically. If we think that we are individual people thinking up these thoughts, creating these thoughts in the moment as an independent person, it's kind of hard to watch them without judgment because we're going to feel very, very guilty for the thoughts. But when we remember the message of the code, and we remember how the oneness works together to I'll say transmit the thoughts into what seems like our individual minds. We can see these thoughts and realize that they aren't thoughts that we are creating right now in the moment. We're more like receiving the thoughts in the moment than creating them in the moment. And then we can look at them and we can decide if we want to keep them or not. And that's a much different way of looking at a thought than believing that I just now created this thought and it's mine. It's an opportunity to make it mine when I receive it. It's an opportunity to make it mine, but I don't have to make it mine. I can choose to let the thought go by. Dove is writing, do not take pride of ownership for the thought. Absolutely. I just look at the thought and I just ask, do I want this thought? And if so, I keep it, and if not, I let it go. But there's a detachment in the way that I watch the mind. Anything you want to share?
No, I really love what you said in the idea that am I going to make this thought mine?
Yeah.
Because the ego just finds its ways on that fine line that he defines between judging the thought as helpful and not helpful and letting go of a thought. Yeah. You know, on what do I base the fact that I'm letting go of a thought? Is it good? Not good? No. Holy Spirit tells us, still with that energy of a child, if it brings you pleasure,
yes,
keep it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't bring you pleasure, let it go.
Yeah.
And then, of course, while we're walking this path, our definition of pleasure starts to change.
Absolutely. We yeah. I remember the very first time Holy Spirit told me if a thought made me happy, to keep it. And if it didn't make me happy, let it go. I even felt guilty about that because I thought that meant I would choose very selfish thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But what you learn through trial and error is that very selfish thoughts don't actually make you happy. So what happens is we get very fine-tuned about what makes us happy, and then we get better and better at selecting,
yes,
which thoughts we want to keep, mm-hmm, and which thoughts we want to let go of.
Yeah, I really like what Laurie wrote about spam email. It's about the same. Yeah, I really like that. Oh, spam. Okay, let's go in the folder. But
yeah,
sometimes we accept spam, and sometimes we judge ourselves for accepting spam, and it's okay. Let's observe the last message you were talking about is really observe the judgment of the spam without judging, because as you mentioned very often, it's but you call that a double dose on the ego.
Yes,
and we don't want that.
No. Why don't we scroll up to Tuesday, June 28th? Should I make this change? I don't know what we're about to read, but to me the title is very funny because I do believe by Tuesday, June 28th, I wasn't at work anymore. I think this is even the day the movers came. I could be wrong, but I think it's the day the movers came, so it's a funny day to be asking, should I make this change? We'll see what's in the message. It's almost like, you know, being pregnant and being in labor and saying, I wonder if I want to have a baby. Okay, here we go. I wrote here, this is my note, I received the following message from the Holy Spirit as I was about to leave the life I made for a guided life with Him. Your day today seems like a door already opened through your willingness, and now you stand before it waiting to step through. You ask yourself, should I hesitate? Should I feel sad? Should I be afraid? And you wonder if something is wrong because you feel none of these things. I tell you, laugh at these concerns. They are merely weak ego cries asking you to look back. But you cannot look back because there is nothing to look at. You leave nothing behind and you walk toward yourself in faith and joy.
Wow.
Step through the door, beloved one, and welcome yourself home. Your journey is nearing its end. Rejoice with me, for we are one. Rejoice with all, for we are one together. Do not fear your stray thoughts. The thoughts you do not want to keep are not yours. They are only your thoughts if you claim them. This is what we just said in the previous message.
Yes.
Yeah. They are only your thoughts if you claim them. You are shedding an old skin, and this seems to put a dust in the air, but the dust is nothing, and it will fade away. All things will settle naturally now, and you will see anew, born again, shining in your new skin. The old skin cannot be put back on again, so there is nothing to fear. You cannot fall back into an old skin. Once you have given me your trust, you have given me everything. I accept your gift and thank you. Let those thoughts go as dust in the air. Nothing. Do not look at the dust. Look at the new skin that is dawning. It is truly a robe made of light. You know, it's funny because as I was reading this top paragraph, my thought was, that's just like the ego. I mean, if we pay attention to what Holy Spirit is saying, I was actually fairly happy this day, kind of looking forward to leaving. Yeah. And then the ego comes in, should I be happy?
Shifting house on shifting sands. Yeah.
You know, that's just like the ego. And we did have a message about that. Yeah, the shifting house with shifting sands not too long ago. So, you know, we really have to know, we have to get to know the ego in our mind so that we absolutely know when not to listen to it. But it does look like Holy Spirit is certainly moving me, encouraging me to just let go of these thoughts and just keep walking in the direction that I'm walking. And of course, that's what I did. So
it is a beautiful message.
Now the next day, Wednesday, June 29th, I remember. So if you guys want to scroll up, this was a big day. I mentioned to you that on Tuesday, that's the day the movers came. So by Tuesday evening, all of my furniture's on its way to North Carolina. On Friday, here's the plan, okay? This is the plan. The furniture leaves on Tuesday. Jasmine and I slept in the house in sleeping bags for a few nights. On Friday morning, we're supposed to... Actually, it was Thursday afternoon. On Thursday afternoon, we were supposed to close on this house, and then we were going to spend the night with a friend, and on Friday morning, we were going to leave and drive to North Carolina. We were taking 3 days to drive to North Carolina because we were visiting friends along the way, and then on Tuesday in North Carolina, I was going to close on another house in the morning, and then they were going to go and close on another house in the afternoon, and there's like this whole chain reaction of people buying houses from people. You know how it works. So... But it's all supposed to start on Thursday when I close on my house. Well, on Wednesday, I get a phone call. And the ladies who had bought my house found out that their loan fell through and they couldn't buy my house tomorrow on Thursday like they're supposed to. My furniture's all the way on North Carolina, going to North Carolina. I already have a commitment to buy a house from someone else, and they have a commitment to buy a house from someone else, and they probably have a commitment to buy a house from someone else. And now these people are saying, we can't buy your house tomorrow. So you can imagine the panic. So let's look at this conversation with the Holy Spirit.
That sounds familiar, too.
You know the sound familiar?
Yeah, very much so.
It's really funny now, but I was like, oh, my God.
It's not funny at all.
It was not funny at all. Wednesday, June 29th. Yeah, okay, so here was my question. Things don't seem to be going perfectly for me now.
Very good.
Yeah. Do I have an unconscious wish to be unfairly treated? I'm trying to figure out, how am I drawing in this disaster to me? And if so, how do I let go of this wish? Here's the answer. Believe your innocence and walk with your innocence before you like a shield. So right there, what he's realizing is, even in asking the question, I'm believing I must be guilty. I'm believing I must be guilty. And I'm asking, you know, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And so he's right there saying, you know, you're innocent. So let's stay there. Let's not believe you're guilty. Let's go back to the perspective that you are innocent. You are the Son of God, one with me still. There is no guilt, only a fantasy that seems to be played out as real. You are my beloved Son. Come home in peace. Now, I wasn't buying that because this is way too big of a disaster. I'm not going to be that easily hushed by Holy Spirit. So, question. As you know, this seems real to me. You also know that I want peace, and I am trying to hold peaceful thoughts in my mind. I am putting my trust in you and focusing on love, not attack, which is true. I was not blaming these people at all, but I was very fearful. In fact, I think what I was feeling the most was actually guilty about the fact that I might mess up these other house deals that were further down the road. But I wasn't mad at the two ladies at all. So there was no attack in my mind. I am putting my trust in you and focusing on love, not attack. What more can I do, or what shall I do differently? And Holy Spirit said, wait in patience for a peaceful resolution. It will come. I said, I feel guilty for having expectations. It also seems that there is a preferable outcome and that different outcomes may have varying levels of pain. I also feel like there could be outcomes which do put me in the position of victim of circumstances. Maybe there was no one to blame, but I am still victim. I am willing to see differently. Can you help me? Answer. Do what you feel is necessary to do and keep faith at the same time. All things work together and the outcome will be fine. So this is twice he's told me it's going to be okay. Move in peace and love, not panic, fear, and attack. You can take the same actions in rest and peace and you will know that I am with you, or you can take those actions in fear and not know I am here. Either way, I am here. And the outcome will be the same.
The outcome will be the same.
So this script was already written.
Yeah, and there it goes for the fear of miscreation.
That's right. Question. Let's talk about the movers for a moment.
I hate those guts.
I didn't like the way they were packing my boxes, and I was scared to death to say anything because I didn't want to criticize, right? I mean, that's true, right? You just went through movers.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It was the same thing.
Let's talk about the movers for a moment. I find it interesting that I am condemning the movers for small things, like leaving small stuff behind, not repacking Christmas things, and not taking me on a friendly walkthrough before asking me to sign the papers. I also feel sad and victimized that they couldn't take the basketball goal. This stuff is so funny now. But I was really miserable this day. What's all this about? Answer. You think it is your own power that allows you peace, and you forget to surrender to me. You remembered when the issue seemed to be big, but forgot to surrender to me when the issue seemed small to you. That's so true. Mm-hmm. Since you are relying on yourself for peace, you are not able to find it. The self you are relying on witnesses to separation. You will be happy because that is your goal. Remember to ask me, let go, and let me. That is all there is to do. So yeah, and he was very right. When it got very big and very scary, well, I'd surrender. But little bitty stuff, you know, I wouldn't let go of. I would just be very, very upset, try and resolve it in my own mind, try and use my thinking mind to find peace. And, of course, that never works. It looks like we still have things not going well for a couple days here, so I won't tell you the end of the story yet. The next day was Thursday, June 30th. This was the day we were supposed to be closing on my house. The two people who were buying my house were trying desperately to work something out, but everything they were trying was falling through. So I did get a call on Thursday morning from the realtor saying, we're not going to be closing today. We don't have another plan yet. And it was just completely hanging in the air. So I'm really getting terrified because the next morning I'm supposed to leave for North Carolina. And now I have a very expensive house and no job, and the house appears not to be sold. So I got two messages from Holy Spirit on Thursday, June 30th, which is very nice because I'm sure I needed them both. The first one I called a prayer of promise. And it looks like this is a prayer that Holy Spirit gave me to pray. So the I in this would be me. I give you my mind in which to speak, and I, for my part, promise to listen. I promise to follow. I promise to do as I am asked. I promise not to think for myself, for to think for myself is to invite confusion, and I seek only clarity now. I promise to be you by being one with you in mind and in purpose. What is joined in God cannot be split apart, so we are one as we have always been, but now I promise to recognize that and accept it. I have tired of childish games. They give nothing to me. I am ready to gain everything by giving it. So I give you my mind and claim it as my own. So that was a prayer, obviously a prayer of surrender, that Holy Spirit gave me on this Thursday morning to carry me through this day in particular, which was a very scary day. Just keep surrendering all day long. If you scroll on up, there's another conversation I had with Holy Spirit on this day. Question: if I look at form, it appears things aren't going as well as they could, and it could get worse. I am noticing that I feel like a victim. I am noticing fear. It seems like someone must be guilty of screwing something up. And it seems like there is a domino effect of victims. Again, other people's houses are going to be, but the other cells are going to be messed up if mine doesn't go through, so it doesn't affect just me. And that was really killing me. It also seems like cause is in the world, and we, the people, are victims of its effects. With all that said, I remember my purpose, and it is a shared purpose with you, awakening. So I let my thoughts and beliefs about this situation and the world go, and I come to you to listen. What would you like to share with me now? And here's the Holy Spirit's answer. Your step now is to let go of form, to see it as unimportant. Your peace shows progress on this path. And it is true that even though I was very, very afraid that day, I was noticing that I wasn't as afraid as I would have been, let's say, 6 months earlier in the same situation. So there was a measure of peace within the fear, which was new for me. So I was noticing that, and that's what Holy Spirit is referring to when he says, your peace shows progress on this path. It's not that I was completely at peace, but there was a peace within the fear, and that was new. You are trying to let go by repeatedly releasing thoughts as they come to you. Continue this. Don't give up and slip into believing the ego thoughts. All is well as it has ever been. Ego seems to be clamoring for your attention, and you are doing well to recognize what is happening. It seems like a slippery step that you are on, but you cannot slip if you keep your purpose, your true purpose, firmly in your mind now. Hold on to me as you walk this seemingly dark and blind path. I am your guiding light, and I am with you. Your steps are sure. Put faith in me, and you will rejoice at your victory, for it will be a victory over demons that do not exist, and that is surely a victory to celebrate for all. What I remember about this day also is, again, lots of worry thoughts about this deal falling through. And I remember that I was trying very hard to let go of them. I really was practicing mind watching this day. I wasn't just believing the thoughts. But I'm sure you know this experience where I would look at the thoughts, look at the worry, let go of them, and then within 20 seconds they were back again. So it was very, very tiring. And that's why it felt like I was on a slippery step, because it just felt like at any moment I wouldn't be able to keep up this pace of mind watching again. But Holy Spirit is saying, of course, if I keep my purpose in mind, I can't slip. I can't slip. So just to have faith in myself and continue the work. And obviously that's what I did. And that's the end of June, it looks like. It looks like we are ready to go back over to the menu and go to July 2005. And when we get to July 2005, we're going to have to click on the previous entries link right underneath the archive for July. And let's see, we click on it two times, and then scroll all the way to the bottom of that page, and we will come to Saturday, July 2nd. So I'll tell you what happened on Friday. On Friday morning, which was the day that I was supposed to leave and drive to North Carolina, by then, originally, I was supposed to have had a sold house by Friday morning. I called the real estate agent and the lawyer. I think I called the lawyer first thing Friday morning. There was nothing. The lady still didn't have a loan, nothing. And the question came up in the mind, should I go to North Carolina or should I stay here? Because there was no deal and there was no promise of a deal. And I remember Holy Spirit came into my mind very, very clearly. And I wish I could remember exactly the words because they were gorgeous, but I don't remember them. But the idea was asking me where I wanted to put my faith. Did I want to put my faith in failure, or did I want to put my faith in success? Success being that everything was going to work out fine in some way. And that if I stayed In Boston, I was choosing to believe there was going to be some kind of failure. If I got in my car and drove towards North Carolina, I was choosing to believe that this was all going to work out. And I remember when Holy Spirit told me that, I felt this incredible freedom I can't describe, because I absolutely knew that the choice was mine somehow. And all I had to do was get in the car and be willing to drive to North Carolina, even though I didn't know it was going to happen. So on Friday, we left on schedule. I went to the lawyers first and gave the lawyer, what's it called, when you give permission for the lawyer to sign in your name. I don't remember what that's called, but went over and signed over my rights to the lawyer so that the lawyer could close for me if a closing went through. And we got in the car and we left for North Carolina. Power of attorney. Thank you. That's it. I gave the lawyer power of attorney, and I left, even though my house was not sold. And I was very, very happy to leave. And then, as I mentioned, we took a few days driving. We stopped and saw friends along the way. So on Saturday, July 2nd, I was at somebody's house, and I was very relaxed with all of the friends that we saw along the way. So let's see what Holy Spirit had to say on Saturday, July 2nd. Your word is mine, for we are one. There is no separation. Your love and forgiveness of yourself is your love and forgiveness of me. All that you do for you, you do for me. And for this, I am eternally grateful. Do not worry that your small thoughts of forgiveness are unnoticed or ineffectual. All love is maximal. And forgiveness is love's call upon this world. Each tiny thought of remembrance holds the whole of remembrance within it, for love cannot be chopped up into tiny slivers and lost. All love is maximal. All thoughts of forgiveness are used in healing the entire world. You are love, and your remembrances of love extend forever and ever. Love yourself, for you are me. So again, it looks like in this particular message, Holy Spirit is encouraging me to keep doing what I'm choosing to do. Keep choosing to let go of these thoughts, keep choosing to trust the future, and know that there's a lot of power in these choices. Even though at this time to me, maybe there was a little bit of doubt that I was really doing anything in making these choices, Holy Spirit is assuring me all of the love in the universe is in the choices that I'm making, and just encouraging me to continue. Sunday, July 3rd. Yeah, it looks like I woke up. I remember this. I was at a friend's house in Washington, D.C., and I don't know why, but I woke up feeling very unworthy. No particular reason that I knew of, but I was very afraid that if I asked Holy Spirit to speak to me, he wasn't going to, because I wasn't worth it. I don't know where that came from, but that's what I was feeling. So as you can see my note, this morning I was feeling nervous that the Holy Spirit wouldn't come to me. When I did finally hear the voice, this is what it shared. You are nervous that I will not come to you when I have promised that I will. All you need do is ask, and the answer will never fail. You know where this nervousness comes from, and you are learning to laugh at its thought. It is the belief that you are guilty and deserving of punishment. And you see not hearing me as punishment indeed. And that is absolutely true. I remember now. My biggest fear at this point of having let go of my old life and going to a new life, remember, I was going to a life of guidance. I had no real plan. So my biggest fear was that guidance stopping and me just being lost, not knowing what to do next. So that's what he's referring to. That would be like the worst thing that could happen to me is to stop hearing the Holy Spirit now, you know, now that I'm hanging off of this cliff. So you see not hearing me as punishment indeed. You recognize that to be separate from me would leave you alone and purposeless, buried in fear and hopelessness, wandering aimlessly until death. That's how I felt. Yeah, if he was to drop me then, it would have been awful. But this you need not fear. For you have recognized that we are one, and that I am your power and strength. And you share this recognition by receiving my word. You have accepted the truth of our oneness in your heart, and your mind is being healed. So rejoice and enjoy your day. There is nothing else to do today. Look out look out at the world through a smile of peace and know that it welcomes you because you are me. And together we bring the world the healing that it seeks. So again, Holy Spirit is just telling me that my fears are foolishness, actually, that he will never abandon me and that I can trust that.
But he gives you, if I may.
Yes, absolutely.
He gives you already, like, in that phrase that seems a little harsh. You recognize that to be separate from me would leave you alone and purposeless, buried in fear and hopelessness, wandering aimlessly until death. It means that right here is asking you to look at what would be the worst and to look at that fear.
Yeah.
And I can see that in there, because this is definitely something I would cut, you know.
Mm, like not look at.
Yeah, like with a second thought or something. So, oops, no, I don't want to look at that, because I'm very much afraid of what's underneath that.
Mm.
And that teaches me a lot, that, again, it reminds me a lot that, no, go look at there, go look there. Go look at the worst thing ever, go look there. And once you look there, it's like embracing the seat of the driver, as we said in the bus teaching. I totally embrace the driver and its fears, and his fears, and everything, and his guilt, and everything. Just by embracing it, just by totally embracing it, something magic will happen. I will be able to move back one seat. And then Holy Spirit will tell me, okay, now look at all these fears with me.
Yes.
But I cannot look at all these fears with Holy Spirit if I deny them or if I'm afraid of them. This is why this reminds me of my New Year resolution, which is to will for not fearing my fears. And yes, that man, I just saw that. And of course, I'm going to see whatever is working for me, and everybody in the room is going to have 25 different different view on your message, but that's the way it goes, and it's so perfect this way.
Well, and the one thing that I'm noticing, of course, during this very scary time, what I'm just noticing is what a wonderful hand holder the Holy Spirit is. I mean, he's just holding my hand and helping me take each step, just keep moving, keep mm-hmm. moving, keep moving. And that's really all I had to do, because as I kept moving, I would find that everything did work out fine.
Yes.
But I had to keep moving. And he's holding my hand and encouraging me to do that.
And in each message, he gives you always the whole in the tiniest sentence. Mm-hmm. There's always everything. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely amazing. So he really... This is all this teaching that are circular teaching, and he always gives everything in one sentence, everything in a sentence. It's amazing. The circle gets wider and wider as we walk further and further along this path. I guess this is. It reminds me of that phrase that Dove likes a lot. That Holy Spirit taught us is the fact that he is the manifestation of our willingness to awake.
Mm.
So the more we're willing, the more he will be present, the more gems he will give us, the more we'll understand them, and that will create just a more and more and more always. Mm-hmm. And this is very, I'm very in awe of all this. This is great.
Mm. Here's Steve. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, this is going back at least 35 or 40 minutes, but way back to, I don't know if it was June 28th where you were talking about thoughts, but... I was driving, and I have a little bit of a noisy buffer, so I didn't want to interrupt in, and I was shopping stuff out. Yeah, the idea of thoughts, it's like the Course says all we are is a thought in the mind of love. So if thoughts didn't exist, we wouldn't exist. You know, if we try and deny our thoughts, we wouldn't exist. And I know the workbook says something like, I have no neutral thoughts, I see no neutral things, and that's if we're, I guess at that point he's still thinking with ego. But I know later on it also says in the first review, when it talks about I have no neutral thoughts, I see no neutral things, or whatever it is, and somewhere in that first review it says, my only real thoughts are the thoughts that I think with God. But the idea of thoughts is like thoughts, I guess I'm like Candace and David Corn teaching tonight, but in the Doyle book, and in Byron Katie, it says, thoughts just come and go. Thoughts are like fish in a stream, and it's only when you get attached to a thought and start believing in a thought, that's when you start having problems with it. You know, thoughts are always going to come and go. There's nothing wrong with thoughts. If we didn't have thought, we wouldn't exist, you know. But I guess some of the people, like maybe some of the stuff that you were sharing, or Ken Wapnick says we should stop thinking with our thinking mind or the decision maker or whatever it is, you know, and then stop listening to that mind. And then, so that was my thought on thoughts, is that, I mean, thoughts aren't good or bad. It's just the meaning we give to them, like today's workbook lesson. I don't know what anything means. I've given it all the meaning it has, you know. And then I think that's the review lesson where it says these thoughts are meaningless, or my thoughts are meaningless, and it says only the thoughts I don't know what day it was, but it was probably that Wednesday maybe before you found out that they weren't coming, and then the Holy Spirit said just trust or something like that. To me it sounded like, well, and it sounded very much like what I do. Instead of just rat, I do like rats, arrest, accept, and trust the capital self. You know, and I think that's what he was saying. I think I heard you reading the lines where he said, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
No, just trust the Holy Spirit and trust me. So for me, that even helped to reinforce the idea of rats, rest, accept, and trust. I think rats or rats, whatever it is, would have worked really good in as a paraphrase from what he was telling you there. But he was also saying that trust me. So I think for me, that rats is helpful to rest, accept, and trust the capital self or the truth of the right mind that we're looking to get guidance from. So those were just a couple of things that came up earlier. And like I said, I didn't feel like getting into it because there would have been a lot of background noise until I got home. So thanks for letting me share. Here's the mic back.
Thanks. The next thing from Holy Spirit is on July 4th, which was Independence Day. I just wanted to see what was next. This is the day that we now arrived in North Carolina. It was a pretty uneventful day, and it looks like what the Holy Spirit gave me was just kind of a theme to go along with the holiday itself. So let's read what this says. You may enjoy this summer holiday with friends and family if that is what you wish. But as you celebrate with them, remember it is not independence that you celebrate. Today, you celebrate joining. You celebrate laying down your own arms, and in this case he meant like armaments. You celebrate laying down your own arms and accepting our oneness in peace. You celebrate the love of everyone as one. You celebrate our same will as one will, forever united in truth. You celebrate the fact that separation and independence are mere illusion that will not last. And most of all, you celebrate your willingness to let this illusion pass completely from your mind. Celebrate with me today and every day. Independence is not real. I am with you, one with you, always. So, just a nice little theme there. Now, the next message is very long. So, I'm wondering if I should go into it. I feel like I do want to go into it. I think I do, because it seems to be the ending of the story that we started tonight. So, Dove, I just want to make sure this is the same as usual, that there's nobody following me and that it's okay if I go for, like, another 15 minutes. If you let me know, if so, I'll go into this message. If not, then we'll leave it. Yeah, okay, good, because it goes with the story I've been telling. So since I don't come back for two more weeks on this topic, I'd like to finish the story. what happened as far as the house goes, on Tuesday, July 5th, even in the morning, they still didn't know for sure if the house was going to close. So what I did was I was supposed to close my house here in the morning of July 5th. I had it rescheduled to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, with my fingers crossed, hoping that somehow my house in Boston would sell. And sure enough, that is the miracle that came through. These two women who had trouble getting a loan ended up finding a banker who would give them a loan, apparently a fairly high interest rate, but they took it anyway. They held an emergency closing. They closed on my house. They wired the money here. We started our meeting here at 3 o'clock. We finished signing all the papers, and then we had to sit and wait for like an hour for the money to arrive. But the money did arrive, and we were actually able to close on this house on July 5th as scheduled. The whole thing went through, and really the closing was only slipped by hours. And nobody was hurt in the end. All the houses got to go through. So it was very much a miracle. And then the next thing that was supposed to happen on July 5th, because I had planned to close in the morning, is the movers were supposed to come in the afternoon. Well, what happened was the movers didn't show up. And when I called the moving company to find out where they were, they couldn't locate the driver. So I do have my house, but now my furniture's missing in action. In addition to that, I had just moved here, as you know, and my sister-in-law and my brother were at the beach. My sister-in-law comes home from the beach and announces, you shouldn't have moved here because I'm going to divorce your brother. So it's just like, okay, the house went through, but it's still, nothing seemed to be going right. So there seemed to be so many problems in my life is the name of the message on Wednesday, July 6th. My furniture is missing. My sister-in-law, you know, well, that time I would have said is being a real bitch. I don't feel that way about her now, but that was the way I felt on this day. So let's see this conversation. There seems to be so much happening in form, accepting that all form serves the purpose of awakening. I am eager to hear what you will share with me on everything. Let's start with my sister-in-law. She seems very angry at my brother for everything and says that she wants a divorce. Seeing that we have moved here in what seems to be the midst of family turmoil, what would you share with me regarding this situation and true purpose? Answer. All of the universe is contained within each person, and so you will see the seeming drama of the universe played out over and over in each one that you meet. Although the specifics within the drama may seem different, you will do well to remember it is all the same. This is a very important message. I remember I've referred back to this one a few times, so some of you may have heard this next paragraph before. Right now, it seems easier to recognize the sameness of ego in each one. That is because you recognize the ego most consistently within you. As you let go of the ego more and accept me as yourself, you will see more of me in everyone. Regardless of whether you seem to see ego or me, continue to recognize sameness. Sameness leads to oneness. You may also rejoice when you see sameness of ego from a detached perspective, for this is evidence that you are detaching from the world of form and all that ego would have you believe. A very important message, because as he's saying, you know, the Course always talks about seeing, you know, the Holy Spirit in your brother. I couldn't. And, you know, it seemed like all around me what I was seeing was ego in everyone. And really what Holy Spirit is doing, obviously, is not judging me for that, because Holy Spirit never judges. I'm sure I was judging myself for that. The Holy Spirit is not only not judging me for that, he's telling me how to use that for awakening, how to use the fact that I can only see the ego in everyone around me. He's telling me to notice it's the same ego. Notice that everybody is driven by the same bottom line. Notice that everyone is acting out of a feeling of unworthiness. Notice that everyone is acting out of fear. Notice that everyone is acting out of a belief that they are guilty, that they are bad. Notice that everyone, even though at the level of detail they may be doing it differently, notice that everyone is acting out of the same basic ego foundation. That is sameness. And as you start to see that, then you start to see oneness and you start to awaken. So he took what I perceived as a fault and he turned it into a tool for awakening. And this is our amazing Holy Spirit. I absolutely am in love with our Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit continues. Continue to ask me about all you see. Continue to remember me in all you hear. Resist temptation to respond to the cries of the ego by remembering that you need do nothing. I am with you, even when it seems that nothing is happening in response to a problem in form. I wrote that in because that's what I understood that he meant. Trust me, and I will lead you truly. Question. What about the seeming challenges of the move? Each step within the logistics seems to display a consistent pattern. It's bumpy, and then it works out. Is this a statement about my state of mind that I should be aware of? What can I learn from the seeming pattern in form, if anything? Answer. Your mind is transitioning, and it is that transition you see displayed in form. Question. Can you tell me any more about this? Answer. Your transition will not seem to happen instantaneously. Remember this?
Yes.
This is something Laurent and I talked about yesterday. Your transition will not seem to happen instantaneously, although how you choose to see within each seeming instant is important to the whole. Now your mind sees and hears the ego perspective for a time, and your heartbeat may quicken with joy if I think it's working out good, or panic based on what's happening in form. In other words, I'm reacting to the form. If what's happening in form looks good, I'm happy. But if what's happening in form looks bad, I'm unhappy. So I'm in total reaction mode. But then you remember to remember me, and you let the ego thought go, and all smooths out in peace. So I come back to that consistency. This is the pattern you see reflected in form, and you may see it as a pattern of progress. It is always helpful to see any pattern as a pattern of progress. For if you are looking at form as a symbol with me, instead of believing the form is your reality, that is progress. So again, what Holy Spirit is telling me is that, you know, I'm panicking for a while because I'm totally forgetting to trust the Holy Spirit. And I'm believing everything that's happening in form, and I'm fearful some disaster is going to happen. But then, even before there's a resolution, I'm remembering my purpose, I'm remembering to watch my thoughts, and I move into a peacefulness and a trust, and after I move into the peacefulness and the trust, things are working out in form. And he's saying the reason it's so bumpy, so up and down for me right now, instead of consistent, is because I'm transitioning, and I have not yet learned how to be consistent in my trust. I move back and forth between trust and fear, and so my experience moves back and forth between the effects of trust and the effects of fear. That's all that's happening, but he still wants me to see this as progress. He wants me to focus on the fact that I am remembering to trust. I may go through a time of fear, but then I always remember to trust again, and that's what he wants me to notice. Because, of course, what we focus on, as we know, expands. Question. Last night we met several of our new neighbors, and it was quick and easy as I imagined it would be. I was comfortable with the children, but less comfortable with the adults. What would you share with me about this? And what I remembered was being afraid that they were going to judge me as the neighborhood weirdo, you know, because of A Course in Miracles and listening to the Holy Spirit and all of that kind of stuff. So that's why I was uncomfortable around them. And here's what Holy Spirit says. You are judging and you are afraid of being judged. You accept the children more easily. You have more expectations and hopes regarding the adults. Remember that all of your expectations and hopes are of the ego, and let them go. Let go and let me. Accept form as it happens. Remember me. Ask me and listen to me. Do not seek beyond what you are given in the current moment. I'm going to read that sentence again because this is really important for us to get. Do not seek beyond what you are given in the current moment. Because, of course, if we're seeking beyond what we are given in the current moment, we're judging the current moment as not being adequate, not being good enough. He wants us to always be grateful for now. Do not seek beyond what you are given in the current moment. Always trust that the current moment is exactly as it should be, and you will feel the peace of me. And I will be at work in your life through you for our shared purpose of awakening. Next question. Is there anything that you would like to share with me in summary for me to review throughout the day today? Answer. It is all easy if you remember me. When I am on your mind, all things are as they should be within your perspective, so nothing can seem difficult or wrong. Seek only me, and you cannot be disappointed, for I am always there in everything that you see. I am smiling within your peace. All is well. Trust in me. And, of course, that last paragraph brought a lot of love into my heart. So I went back into, again, the smooth, the trust, the peace. And then what happened was they were able to locate the driver of my truck, but he was somewhere else. He wasn't in North Carolina. They said they wouldn't be able to deliver the furniture until like the next Tuesday or something. And so Jasmine and I just decided to go to the beach for 4 or 5 days, and that's what we did. We took off for the beach, had a great little vacation, and then came back the next week, and our furniture was delivered, and, you know, lived happily ever after, but of course there's still a lot of stuff that followed that, but still, it's the end of that particular story. So that's it for today then. I think next week we can start looking at some other stuff, some of the first messages from my life in North Carolina. So, anything you want to say?
That was beautiful. It's a great time of teaching through these messages. They seem so so actual and current. it's beautiful.
Well, it's very close to what you've been going through lately. So,
yes.
What are the dates you are reading from, Regina? I believe we started with January 26th, 2005, and we read up to Wednesday. Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you.
June.
Steve is correcting me. Yeah, June.
I could be reading it wrong.
No, I'm always that way with dates. I've been that way all my life. I'll get, like, the first letter right. I get the month right. Okay, so...
Okay, there's no need for judging that, you know. I mean, we like it.
No, it's funny.
It's nice, it's nice.
It's funny. I've always done that, and I have no idea why. Okay, so it's from June 26th, 2005, to July 6th, 2005. So it was that 2 weeks where I was really leaving Boston and moving here. And, of course, everything seemed to be going wrong, but then it all worked out perfect. So, all right, then. I guess that's it for me for tonight. Laurent. Oh, yeah, Steve, please.
Was that I guess I like this part of it, going to the archives, because it shows more of the process rather than, like it said, you know, you think it can happen instantly, but it doesn't seem to happen instantaneously. You know, you have to hear it a number of times and a number of times and a number of times again before you actually can accept it or have it as an experience rather than just a thought or words or something like that. So I think I think it's helpful for me, and I appreciate the process that you talk about when you're going through it, rather than just, you know, I guess you know what I mean. So I'm done. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. And Deb, I see your request to post the link. It would actually be many links. So what I'll do is I will post that on the Peace of God for you. Yeah, and you know, Steve, I remember when I was reading Peace Pilgrim. Peace Pilgrim talked a lot about... you know, her awakening and her experiences after awakening. She shared very, very little about what she went through to get to awakening. And I remember really loving Peace Pilgrim, but really wishing that 15 years that she calls her spiritual growing up period, really wishing that we had that archived. And it seems like my wish for Peace Pilgrim became what I'm doing, because from almost the very beginning of me being on the spiritual path, everything I've gone through is archived. And so, you know, it's kind of fun to be able to do what I had kind of wished I had. So hopefully it's helpful to others.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
So, all right. So, yeah, and Wayne wants the last link. There seem to be so many problems in my life. I can give you that one right now. Let's see. Here's the last link, Wayne. There seem to be so many problems in my life. That's the last one I read. And then I'll just put all of them on the Peace of God. All right. It's great. Laurent's here tomorrow at 1. I'm back on Friday at 2 for the NTI study group. And then Jasmine, as she announced, will be here at 4 following Marianne Williamson's radio show. So, all right. Bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.